Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
President Santos and the people of Colombia for the extraordinary hospitality in the beautiful city of Cartagena. We're having a wonderful time, and usually when I take these summit trips, part of my job is to scout out where I may want to bring Michelle back later for vacation. So we'll make sure to come back sometime.
All power to the people. All power to the people. Another vacation. Well, he works hard. The peripatetic president. Look it up and see it's not a dirty word. Hey! Yo. So they got the GSA on the hot seat in Washington for calling for an $800,000 conference, taxpayer money, and they put on a Stalin show trial screaming at him, we demand that heads roll, and the guy pleads the Fifth Amendment today. Along the lines of the Valachi hearings, again, another one of the Obamaites taking the Fifth along the lines of the Valachi hearings. And the president himself is saying he's in Colombia scouting for a future vacation and there's no hearing. How do you like that? It's nice to be king. Now, speaking about Colombia, the big scandal, of course, over the weekend is the issue of the shenanigans of the Secret Service agents. The shenanigans of the Secret Service agents. Now, of course, this never would have happened under straight-laced Bush. Never, ever would have happened under a straight-laced Republican. How come these degenerate things happen under Democrats? Why is that? Is it a laxness, a disrespect for propriety, a disrespect for family? Why is it that the Secret Service agents feel free to use hookers in Colombia and think they wouldn't get and cheap? They're cheap on top of it all. It's bad enough that they went to a house of ill repute, which is legal, by the way, in Colombia. We'll forget that side of it. But one of the cheap bums wouldn't even pay the girl $46, according to the report. You hear? Reminds me of certain individuals from waiters I hear all the time who don't tip. They have a sense of entitlement, but that's neither here nor there. What do you think should be done to whatever their names are, Secret Service. Some Secret Service. How secret could the service be if the hookers know who they are? How secret could the service be under Obama if hookers even know their their names? Let's put it to you that way. Do you have any idea what a breach of security this is? A guy has to take his gun out, right, in order to be with a prostitute. Let's be clear. He has to take his wallet out to be with a hooker. He has to get naked, doesn't he? Unless there's some special secret that I don't know about that Obama's Secret Service agents use where they can remain clothed with their gun and wallet in their pocket while enjoying the services of a hooker in Colombia. But let's assume they're like an ordinary man. They have to get undressed. They have to take out their gun, take out their wallet. What was that click? You're telling me there's no opportunity for someone to sneak in and get their ID? Blackmail them by threatening their families? Get the serial numbers off their guns? Well, what's the difference? Boys will be boys, right? What should happen is the question. You don't care. It's not a big topic. Thank you for helping make trickle-down tyranny number 3 and number 2 on all of the lists. It can't be number 1 because that's reserved for, let us say, one of them. The slot number 1 is always reserved for them, the other side, since they control the list. But you drove it to number 3 and number 2, Trickle Down Tyranny by Michael Savage, HarperCollins Publishers, which is an amazing thing considering I'm banned in the UK and on Fox News. Really. Pentagon embarrassed by prostitution scandal. Them too? They're also embarrassed. Everyone's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. It won't happen again. Let's do an investigation. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again. So you decide, how should the administration handle the Secret Service scandal in Colombia? A, leave them alone. Boys will be boys, and even Secret Service agents make mistakes. Two, implement new rules for Secret Service agents abroad, like strictly enforced curfews. Three, start firing at the top. This was an embarrassment to the U.S. delegation. Fire the head of the Secret Service. Four, punish those directly involved. This was an isolated incident and cut it off there. And the fifth choice is, please, can I have the phone number and address of the locale? So the next time I go there, I can, whatever. So that's it. Every day there's another blow to the body politic here in the Savage Nation. Every day. You know what I really want to talk about? Let's play your Blue Monday and start the show again. I could see I got like a dull job going on here. I don't know what it is. I could feel it. I want to hear come on, Blue Monday. Come on. That means Blue Monday. Look at the hotel we're in, ugly. Looks like the Nacional in Miami. Guys, you don't hit it. But normally you say play a song, you hit a button. Okay, you still don't have it, right? Okay. It's unbelievable to me. Still looking? I'll tell you what, I'm going to play Blue Monday and you still can't. Okay, let's take a call. Yeah, sure.
Blue Monday.
Wow, what time? Turn it off already. It's too late, right? The timing's off. That was about a minute to find the record. Normally you press a key. Vincent Sacramento, you should go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how are you, sir?
Terrible. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Listen, I went into Barnes & Noble. Well, I should say I called Barnes & Noble. They said they would get back to me when they located it. 2 days later, I got a call from them that they located it. I said, sorry, I already went to Costco and got it. It's right up front in Costco.
I don't understand. Barnes & Noble didn't have trickle-down tyranny in Sacramento? Well, where in Sacramento?
You know what? Off the top of my head now, I can't even recall because I was so ticked off with the woman. I went to, I Googled.
Well, she was busy. She was busy probably looking for Obama's book or something.
Here's the best part. That's my guy.
Sorry.
It is. He had to be 22 years old. I says, there is hope. There is hope, Dr. Savage. And when I
there is hope. There's hope, but it's very slim pickings. Vince, I'm sending you a free copy anyway. Save it for Christmas. The book will still be good. Yeah, you saw what happened over the weekend? Four sailors dead. Oh, yeah, it's seen near the Farallons. You think that sailing is, without risk. Yeah, it's not. You know, I have a sequel coming out. I'm doing so many books, you know me. You got the Tyranny book, that's out. So I'm finishing up Train Tracks for December, you know, my nostalgia tour. But I've also almost finished up novel number two of Abuse of Power. And the next one, the villains are the communist Chinese, who come here to do a terrible thing to America. That should also go over very well with the American media. Anyway, one of the main scenes in the book occurs in the Farallon Islands off the coast of San Francisco, which is a very rough, rugged area. Very few people have ever been there. But four sailors died over the weekend. They got hit with a rogue wave. Then the boat went around to look for the sailors, and then they got swamped. Amazing, amazing. Here's another headline out of the Bay Area. Man kills wife outside lawyer's office. Petaluma man shot a strange spouse who was seeing divorce attorney before turning the gun on himself. Oh, God. Shakespeare, where are you now that we don't need you? Mob of anarchists attacks Starbucks. You didn't see that one? The 99 percenters, whoever they are. Mob of 25 anarchists fought with officers and tried to use 8-foot-long metal pipes to smash windows of a Starbucks in the East Village of New York City on Saturday. Congratulations, AFL-CIO. Congratulations, all of you who have supported these vermin. I pity the New York City police that they have to put up with these people without fighting back. Because in my day, the police would have fought back. with horses, nightsticks, police dogs, police hoses. And believe me, it would have been the anarchists' blood running in the street, not the cops. But it's a different world today. When you have trickle-down tyranny, what you have are the local police being beaten up by mobs so that the, well, you can fill in the blanks yourself. What else is in the news? What else do you want to talk about? I think the Secret Service story is a big deal, but you don't want to talk about it. What can I do? You can talk about other topics. In a minute, I'm going to talk about a mental hospital. Because you remember I wrote a book years ago called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And unless we clean up the mental hospitals, we're going to need a lot more of them in the next few years as more and more liberals check themselves in. There's a heck of a story in the LA Times from the weekend. They're 5 pages long. About what liberals have done to mental health in the state of California in the name of do-goodering. They're do-gooders, right? And they said, well, we can't have heavy drugging of mentally ill people. We can't have restraints on the mentally ill because it's against their civil rights. Now, as you well know, Jerry Brown's father is a man who institutionalized the law giving the state the right to disperse, really, the patients from the state mental hospitals. It was Reagan who enacted the law passed by Jerry Brown's father, Pat Brown, and the rest is history. The vermin are in the gutters. They're called homeless. If they're not in the gutters, they're in Sacramento or in Washington pretending to be politicians. And so now you've got people trickling back into mental hospitals, and the psychotic liberals have said, well, you can't drug them. You can't restrain them. And so you don't have to give them more freedom. So in 2006, the federal government, Department of Justice, sued the state saying it was violating patients' rights by heavily drugging and improperly restraining them and it didn't give them a right treatment, right? And they put in monitors. What happened now is that they're killing people, raping people in the mental hospitals. This is all because of one do-gooder psychologist who wrote one study. His name is Mr. Singh. That's right. He has a name. The architect of these liberal reforms was Nirbhay Singh, a Virginia-based consultant. Singh came to the U.S. in 1987 from New Zealand, where he was only a psychology director at an institution for the mentally retarded. They immediately made him, because he was not an American, a professor of psychiatry at Virginia Commonwealth. And then he developed specialties in liberal person-centered care, which builds on positive behavior support. He had no treatment to speak of, treating psychiatric patients, let alone the sort of dangerous offenders who fill the state hospitals. Instead, he had other specialties. And he published articles about Buddhist-inspired mindfulness and alternative treatments, such as using the herb kava kava as a calming agent on psychotics. Yet he appealed to the California officials, he appealed to the Justice Department lawyers, and so therefore they instituted this fool's recommendations. He earned about $4.4 million, $2,500 a day, while working for the state. No one knows where Singh is today, but the mental hospitals have become total and absolute snake pits, all because of him. And we're going to talk about state mental hospitals in California, because it's a very mindful story about what liberals do in the name of being good and doing good. But we'll talk mainly about trickle-down tyranny, your experiences, and Secret Service agents. What should be done to the Secret Service agents, and why are they acting out under Obama? You know it would never happen under a straight-laced Republican. You and I both know if Romney were president, he'd get clean Secret Service agents. He wouldn't cull them from bars. He wouldn't cull them from the doorways of porno stores, as apparently has been done here, in order to fill the ranks of Secret Service advancement. Obviously, they got them as bouncers from various and sundry clubs in and around the Washington, D.C. area, and put them in charge of the Secret Service to go to Columbia. Where do you think they got these? This never would have happened under Reagan, wouldn't happen under Nixon, would never happen under Romney, but it's happening under Obama. Why? I think there is a connection to the man himself. There is something about laxness and a lack of authority, a basic disrespect for authority. Agree or disagree? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Yeah, It is the Savage Nation. As we sit here waiting for Obama to lose and Romney to win, we wonder what's going to happen. Will we be through with these kind of disgusting events, such as the Secret Service agents, the Solyndra scandal, the GSA scandal, the TSA groping scandals, rule by Al Sharpton and the street thugs? I mean, will this all come to an end, this almost tyranny that we're living through? Dare I use the word tyranny? And what will Romney do is the question if he does win. I really don't know. I really have no idea what he would do. It can't be worse than this. It's impossible. The debasement of America could not get any worse than this. But again, the Secret Service scandal with the hookers, everyone in the world knows about it except people who live in San Francisco. It wasn't permitted to be published in a local paper. It's a cordon sanitaire here. Only good things about Alinsky's minions. Only pure things about Alinsky's presidency. In fact, I may not call him Obama anymore. I may call him Alinsky Jr. It has a certain ring to it. We're tired of the word Obama anyway. It's like old. I may refer to him as Alinsky Jr. New York, Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. That's pretty funny, Alinsky Jr. What's really fascinating about Obama's reaction, he was saying that he would get angry if it turns out to be true. Yeah. He should be angry right now because obviously something has happened.
Of course something has happened, but he's looking for a new vacation site.
And that's, by the way, maybe a reason. I think they may be under a lot of stress, the Secret Service agent. He's traveling all over the world all the time. It must be very stressful being away. I'm not justifying it, but that's...
go tell that to your wife if she catches you with your shoes off, huh?
But the other thing that I would comment is that I don't think that Daryl Issa should investigate it right away because it may be just piling on. I mean, there's so much to investigate, we know. But if you just wait...
I think Daryl Issa has the right to investigate. Not only that, but he has the obligation because we don't know if the agents were compromised. Do we know, in fact, if their guns, serial numbers were copied by hookers and their minions and their wallets and home addresses were copied by the hookers' associates in the rooms? We don't know if any of that occurred. Were there breaches from their laptops? Where were the laptops while they were naked with the prostitutes? I mean, there's a lot of questions. Daryl Issa is right.
Savage.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely, did you attend the 2010 Western Regional Conference in Las Vegas?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely, did you approve the funding for the 2010 Western Regional Conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Just a few more. Mr. Neely, what was the original budget for that conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
I want to thank President Santos and the people of Colombia for the extraordinary hospitality in the beautiful city of Cartagena. We're having a wonderful time, and usually
when I take
these summit trips, part of my job is to scout out where I may want to bring Michelle back later for vacation. So.
But would you take the fifth when you're pulled in on an impeachment hearing? Thank you for the call. Thank you very much. Send the president, send Alinsky Jr. a copy of Trickle-Down Tyranny. Astounding. Not since the Valachi papers have I heard corporate executives, cabinet secretaries, department heads under Obama take the fifth, but there's nothing to liberals. They think it's perfectly normal to take the Fifth Amendment. Since most of them take a fifth of wine every night, what's the difference if you take a fifth of wine or the Fifth Amendment? They probably think he's taking a fifth of wine. They don't even know what the Fifth Amendment is. He says, on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer because of protection of the Fifth Amendment. They think he's talking about a fifth of scotch. It's a joke, huh? It's all a joke. Prostitute. Prostrate, often confused with prostrate. Illiterates usually write the word prostrate when they mean prostate and vice versa. There's certain words are a giveaway of uneducated morons. They use the word prostrate when they mean prostate, or they say prostrate when they mean prostate. Prostitute, prostate, coming from the Latin root prost, If you look it up, as I do often when I have nothing to do, my concise etymological dictionary of the English language by Skeet, one of my favorite possessions, $26.50, purchased by me back in the 1970s. This is like brand new. It'll be in my archives, the Savage Dictionary of, the origin of words with a little. So some of the words that I've put a little post-it in, God bless post-its. That guy should get like a Nobel Prize. One of the words is sedition. Where did it come from? Tyranny, where did it come from? But now we have a new set of root words. Prostitute, prostrate, protean, protect, protest, prothalamium, protocol, prototype, protract, protrude, protrude, protuberant, ooh, to bulge out. See, but that's the end of the pro stuff, the prot. But the Latin root of prostitute is interesting. Prostituta, to expose openly, prostitute, to place, casual of, stare, to stand nakedly, in other words, exposed. So you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? You're just trying to, use dirty words. No, I'm not using dirty words. In other words, there's an actual act involved with the Secret Service agents and their alleged cavorting with prostitutes in Colombia. And that is they have to be exposed, naked, exposed, gun out on table, wallet out on table, while they're doing their thing, whatever that might be. You're telling me that in Colombia no one could look in their wallet and see their identity, their wife's address? They can't look at the gun and get a quick scan of the serial number on their pistol, their Glock, or whatever they're carrying? Oh, nothing to you, because you'll take a fifth tonight. Nothing to you, nothing to me, nothing to you, nothing to me. There are consequences to a lax administration and the behavior thereof. It's unbelievable how this goes on. So, whatever. Okay, you get the picture? How do you feel about the head of the GSA taking the Fifth Amendment after Solyndra officials took the Fifth Amendment? We haven't heard anything like this in our lifetime. I've never heard anything like this. It's so clear that they're guilty. You know what I'm saying? You want to talk about that? Let's go to the callers on the prostitute Secret Service scandal. New York, Ralph, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Let me mention something, Michael, about the not-so-Secret Service. Obama can be blamed for many things, Michael, but this has nothing to do with him. I mean, the sexual urge is so powerful that these guys, it's been happening since time immemorial, Michael.
Hold on now. What's been happening? Secret Service agents using hookers?
We just haven't heard it. Had it not been for this guy failing to pay $46, how ridiculous is that?
I don't know that it's happened under every president that the advanced teams use hookers. I mean, that's quite an assumption. I'm not saying it's the greatest crime on earth, but for a Secret Service agent, I believe it's a dismissible offense.
Well, you may call these guys loose cannons. You know, they've gone off the deep end, maybe, and maybe they've left their wallet right on the night table there for the hooker to have full view. Who the heck knows? But I really failed to believe.
Look, I'm not here to argue with you over whether or not this occurred before, because we don't know. We're just assuming that it occurred before. I wouldn't assume that it occurred before. I know it happened now because every news print outlet in the country, in the world, is covering it. It's one of the biggest scandals of Obama's administration. But once again, the mainstream press is not really laying the blame at his doorstep. I would say there is a connection to Obama's administration because the laxness thereof reflects upon the Secret Service agents. I don't know how you could say it has nothing to do with him.
Well, I respect that, but Michael, let's prepare for four more years of the same, unfortunately, because if they say that Romney has made strides, I don't believe it. I mean, I think right now to oust the incumbent would be extremely difficult. I don't look forward to four more years. I read your stuff all the time. I'm in your camp. But unfortunately,
I don't really know what's going to happen. I know Romney is a very tepid candidate. He needs to get much tougher and much more visceral in order to connect with the voter to have him come out. And we have a Faustian bargain with Romney. I agree with that as well. And that means that we know we're only going to get a certain amount of conservative values from him. But it's better than what we're getting from the Marxist in chief, isn't it?
No doubt. doubt about it, but never underestimate the public's stupidity.
Oh, well, that I know. But let me ask you this. Do you think a Romney Secret Service would use hookers in Colombia?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't make a difference, to be honest. I'm trying to be truthful with you. I don't think it would make a difference.
First of all, Romney is a straight-up Mormon, a devout family man, no scandals in his background. How in the world could you not think he would not vet Secret Service agents better than Obama did?
There's no direct connection. These guys are on their own. When they're so far away from home, they can do anything and everything. I don't see them.
Well, but, you know, it's like saying there's a lot of buffers between Valachi, between the Godfather and the guy, the button man in the street. But there's a certain emotional set, if you want to use that phrase, that translates from the top down. I mean, when you see Hillary Clinton swilling beer with lady friends in a nightclub at 2 in the morning, is that something you'd expect from a Secretary of State? You're going to tell me they all did it?
No, I won't. But
let's go to that one. Now, why is she seen in a nightclub with lady friends, downing a bottle of beer, dancing the night away? There's no crime in that. But is that dignified? Is that something you'd expect from a Secretary of State?
You know why she can do it? Because she's who she is. In fact, Michael, she can do no wrong. She can do whatever the heck she wants to do because the mainstream media allows her to do so. Don't you see she has free rein, Michael? You know it and I know it.
Well, amongst the degenerate crowd, yes. And amongst people without brains, yes. Amongst people without any sense of decency or morality, of course she has free rein. But amongst the rest of America, I think this is another PR disaster for this administration. Here is a woman who bungled the Middle East. She has created the greatest unmitigated disaster in Middle East history. She bungled North Korea, and she's seen getting stew drunk with a bunch of girlfriends in Colombia. That's nothing?
Even though you and I see it as plain as day, the average Joe does not see it that way. The average Joe watches TV, watches...
The average Joe is a putz. The average Joe deserves to be a slave. There's no question about it. He deserves Obama and Hillary Clinton. And you deserve a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. That was a quick one. That was very quick. That was a 15-seconder. So what do you say about the Secret Service, the SS? Do you think the SS should be fired? Do you think the SS's behavior in Colombia has anything to do with Obama? Do you think that the SS has diminished under Obama? Do you think Obama has picked bouncers from strip clubs to be his Secret Service? I mean, where these guys come from? It's not the Secret Service we grew up with under other administrations, straight-laced guys who... I mean, I never saw anything like this. This is like we're like a third-world banana republic now under Alinsky Jr. It's like a banana republic. This is the kind of Secret Service you would get, let's say, in a South American banana republic. They'd have a Secret Service like this, where the president's, you know, he does what he wants, and then a night off, they go out and do what they want. All right, amigos, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. Have a good time, boys. I mean, that's what you'd expect if you're Secret Service in Uruguay, not Secret Service in the U.S. of A. We're not in Uruguay. We're in U.S. of A. All right, you don't care. I could see it's nothing. Most Americans, this is normal behavior to the average American. By the way, you see the nice picture of Chaz Bono on my website, michaelsavage.com? It's not widely published. I'm not making fun of her, him. I am not making fun of her, him at all. In fact, he is allowed to be who she wants. Chaz Bono enjoys grand marshal duties at Gay Pride Parade. It came from the London Daily Mail. I'm not making a mockery of it. It's in a grand marshal duties at Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade. Chaz Bono, who split from his girlfriend of 12 years in December, was spotted enjoying the Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade yesterday. How does someone get this big? Chaz, the former Dancing with the Stars contestant, looked a bit hot under the collar as he attended the Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade. How do they get so buff, so big? I don't understand this. How does anyone get so large? The former Dancing with the Stars contestant was appointed Grand Marshal of the flamboyant event. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Hollywood produces really sterling children from top to bottom. You got to be proud if you were Cher of a child of this nature. Really, I mean, Grand Marshal of the parade? You know, I mean, come on. That's better than a PhD, better than writing books, tattoos, being buff like that, loved by so many. It's the new America. In fact, I think that Chaz Bono should be invited to the White House for the Presidential Medal of Freedom in order to tie up the transgender crowd, the post-surgical transgender crowd for Obama, because some of them may go off the plantation and vote for Romney. You never know. You never know how those crazy, wild people are liable to vote. Even one vote could be a disaster in Miami. I think he should be invited to the White House, Chaz Bono, for a special Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with Al Sharpton, two of the greatest of Americans. New York, Neil, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi Michael. I'm a former Treasury agent, and what has happened over the years is the standards for agents has decreased. And
Okay, so my intuition is correct. They have gone down. You can't blame that entirely on Obama, though.
No, not at all.
But what do you mean by the standards have gone down? Why? They can't get guys to do it because it's a very tough job because of the travel, et cetera?
No. It's just the standards have gone down in all agencies, in all governments.
Well, that's true. They have firemen now in San Francisco who have to be women who speak no English and they're under 5 feet tall. That's the requirement. They can't lift the hose or climb a ladder, but they make them the fire chief or the captain. I understand what you're saying. So the same thing is applying now in the Secret Service?
Yes. You have these EEO standards that they have to meet. And When I was interviewed, for the job, they used to ask you all these questions like, are you a member of like the SDS or any organization?
Yeah, are you a member of a subversive organization? And the answer today would be yes, and they'd say, good, then you're hired.
Right, and then have you used drugs? I mean,
yes, then you're hired, then you get another check. But if you're a combat hero from Iraq or Afghanistan and a paratrooper and a white male, you're put at the bottom of the list.
Right, that's exactly right.
Well, that's it. That's Alice in Wonderland. That's Alice in Obama land. No, come on, but the truth is we all know what's happened in this country, and it didn't start with Obama. Unfortunately, it ended with Obama.
Got it.
It's an interesting statement. It may end with Obama when we're no longer a nation where the few and the proud sort of. The Secret Service used to be known as the most elite, wasn't it? Neil, when you were a Secret Service agent, did men go to prostitutes while traveling for the president?
That happened. I'd have to say there were times I would have to say where those things did happen.
All right, so then it is true that it did happen. So let me ask you the next question: were any of the Secret Service agents so cheap and stupid as to not pay a hooker?
Yeah.
There were. They wouldn't pay. You mean they were always dead? They were always deadbeats and cheap.
Well, there's always it doesn't matter what your profession is. There's cheap people in all professions.
But let's say 10, 20 years ago, a Secret Service agent uses a prostitute somewhere, and they don't pay. How do they get away with it? Were they threatened to beat up the prostitute?
Look, it gets into a situation where they usually kept that stuff quiet, and what happens is...
Wait a minute. So this is the essence of it. So it happened before, but they could keep it quiet. Why couldn't they keep this quiet then? That becomes the second question.
But that I don't know. I don't know. I don't have enough facts regarding that. But
So now we learned that every Secret Service agent was cavorting with prostitutes, going back to George Washington and the wooden teeth. Even his dentist, who applied the wooden teeth, was afforded escort services back in Revolutionary War days. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the head of one of Obama's agencies takes the Fifth Amendment today, like the Valachi papers, and we're talking about the Secret Service hooker scandal in Colombia, because that's the way human beings are. We're interested in salaciousness. This is the interesting thing. And here's something. Here's a curveball that you don't understand. It might offend traditional Americans. Married women in particular would be offended by this. But what you don't understand is that the Facebook degenerates, those with pierced brains, those with bling on their cerebrums, the drunkards, the hookers, in other words, the entire young generation, the Facebook generation with, you know, nose rings and tongue rings and the booze pictures and then having a party, they actually like this. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? I mean, these are the children of Bill Clinton. These are the children of the 60s. They're just acting out what they were told is the norm for the new America. So the new Americans actually like this behavior. They think it's normal for Secret Service agents to engage with prostitutes and leave their wallets and their guns on the table to have them photographed by various and sundry Secret Service in Colombia who can then blackmail them. In fact, blackmail wouldn't bother them at all. They probably think blackmail is healthy. It's cross-cultural experiences to be blackmailed by somebody from another country. Just think about that. It's like foreign travel. So, you know, you're getting excited. Here's something I dug up, by the way. It's one paragraph from Trickle Down Tyranny, because you're not going to hear this in the news. It took me a lot of work. Page 134. Here's something that I dug up. The union-approved head of General Motors, Dan Ackerson, the head of America's largest car maker, which is now 26% owned by the federal government, is actually calling for higher gas taxes. Here's what Ackerson said. You know what I'd rather have them do? This will make my Republican friends puke. As gas is going to go down here now, we ought to just slap a 50-cent or dollar tax on a gallon of gas. People will start buying more Cruises, and they will start buying less Suburbans. He then said we have to raise up prices to boost GM's money-losing electric car business. He doesn't care about the average motorist. So if you think gas prices are rising by accident, you're mistaken. It's happening on purpose while Alinsky Jr., the tyrant, is partying in Colombia.
Savvy.
Warning. The Michael Savvy Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then of course I'll be angry.
I can't think of a time when I felt it was more important for us to defeat an incumbent president than today with respect to Barack Obama. I think he has been an unmitigated disaster for the country. I think to be in a position where he gets four more years in the White House to continue the policies he has, both with respect to the economy and tax policy and defense and so many other areas, would be a huge disappointment.
So, oh, boy, we're really cooking with gas. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 500,000 watts from San Francisco to the universe. Secret Service. This is a big story. Now, you know it's splitting, like, right down the middle. Democrats and libertarians and libertines and of that nature say this is no big deal to have Secret Service agents cavort with hookers. Others are saying it is a big deal. It's a reflection of the administration's laxness and carelessness in many spheres. And, of course, there is the plain pragmatic issue of a Secret Service agent in a city like Cartagena getting naked and leaving their guns and wallets on the table, which, I mean, it exposes you to blackmail. But then again, hey, what's the difference? What's the difference, right? Now, you look at the Secret Service. It was created in 1865 to suppress counterfeit currency. That was the number one issue. Counterfeiters, that was it, right? Treasury agents. Then in 1867, it was broadened to include detecting persons perpetuating frauds against the government. Today, that would include the entire government. Today, they would have to investigate the entire government and others to do their job. But this appropriation resulted in investigation into the Ku Klux Klan, distillers, smugglers, mail robbers, land frauds, and other infractions against the federal laws. We assume it wouldn't apply to agents of the TSA or agents of the GSA. Now we got this. We got this situation. I don't know. To me, Secret Service was like they were the most straight-up guys in the world. 1965, Congress authorized protection of a former president and their spouses during their lifetime and minor children until age 16. I love that. Would you like to have Secret Service agents for the rest of your life? Outside your house, inside your house? I think that'd be terrific. So it's nice to have that. You know how expensive that must be? If you hired private security on any level, like a bouncer even with a gun, think about it, 24 hours a day, $50 an hour, let's say minimum, $50 an hour times 24 hours, that adds up. It's like $1,200 a day, right? I'm doing my math quickly. $100 an hour times 24 hours is $2,400 a day. So that's $1,200 a day times 7. It's like a lot of money. 7 times 12, $8,600 a week. Multiply that out of the year, right? 9,000. Am I doing my math right? 9,000 a week times 50. It's like 450 a year. So now you got these guys there. They're certainly worth more than 100 bucks an hour, more than 50 an hour. So that's, think about how much money they cost you to run around with former this and children and that, nightclubs, Facebook, what they got to put up with. It's a very tough job, and then they travel all over the world. They never have no family life. So the guy goes to Colombia, ahead of the president, and they have a hooker scandal. So now people are saying, well, it happens with all the administrations. I'm not so sure, number one, it would happen under a Romney. Personally, I don't think it would. I can guarantee you he'd get a new Secret Service head, and they'd be straight-laced. That's number one. You're not telling me this happened under Reagan and under Nixon. I don't believe it. And if it did, let's say it did happen. Let's say there were guys who went to hookers. Let's just say, I'm not a child. Let's say they did, which I find rather unusual of a Secret Service guy to even go there, considering the risks involved. But let's say they did. Would there have been a deadbeat who wouldn't pay a hooker and cause an international incident over $46? I mean, that unto itself is indicative of the bungling of this administration. Let's say that others used hookers. Let's take the other side. But they never got caught. Why? Because they paid, number one. And number two, they wouldn't argue with a hooker in Colombia over paying a hooker, causing an international incident, unless they were dummies. Dummy from the top to the bottom. What kind of moron doesn't pay a hooker and then fights with it till they call in the local police? What an idiot. Well, now let's look at the Secretary of State. There she is, partying the night away with her lady friends, drinking beer, dancing, having a wonderful time. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Here's a woman who bungled the Middle East, that set it afire, bungled North Korea, tried to fire off a missile. Allegedly it blew up. We don't know if it did. Everything she touched has turned to a nightmare, but she's having a good time in Colombia again. Again, this is the administration, a nightmare administration. So, is this a reflection of the Obama administration or nothing to get excited about? I don't, you know, my feelings are, this is a big deal. What do you think? Let's take calls on this and any other topic. Any other topic. Let's go to Delaware. Bill, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tell you, I live fairly close to Joe Biden, about just over a mile away from him, and there's a local drugstore here in our little town of Greenville, and I see the Secret Service agents in there from time to time, Biden's Secret Service agents. And,
yeah.
Quite frankly, I'm not surprised to hear about this incident down in Colombia, because the fellows I see from the Secret Service don't seem very professional to me at all.
So give me an example of what you mean by that. What are they doing?
Okay. First of all, when I see them in the drugstore, and this isn't every day. I'm not there every day. I go there maybe a couple times a week. But they come in there with their big black SUVs pulled up out front. They come in there, they got T-shirts on, they got ratty jeans on. And they're up there. They're buying whatever they're buying, personal care items, candy, but they have these lanyards around their neck that they have their keys on and key fobs.
So in other words, they don't look very professional. They look beaten up.
Not beaten up, but it goes beyond that because they have these lanyards, and they flop these lanyards down on the desk on the counter with their keys. And then when they open up their wallet, they have their credentials there, and they flash them around to make sure everybody can see them.
Guys who want to be seen as tough guys and macho and throw their weight around? Is that what you're implying?
Well, it kind of looks like that, but then they kind of look like dirt balls too, with those T-shirts and the ratty jeans. I was very disappointed when I saw them on several occasions.
Well, let me ask you something, and this is a question that has no direct relevancy, but it's of interest to me. Are they younger guys or older guys?
35 to 40.
Do they look like they're fit or they've turned into fatzos?
No, fit. They look tough.
So they have a military bearing.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, but they have their clothes. You would think they'd wear something better to go out in public.
But doesn't the word secret have anything to do with the service? that you know who they are in undershirts with lanyards, with the bulging. I mean, where's the secret part of the service here?
Well, I would have figured they were secret service anyway because of the SUVs parked outside with the U.S. government plates on them. And then I go in there and see these guys at the counter. Whether they pulled their lanyards out and pulled their credentials out or not, I would have still figured they were Secret Service guys. But that thing with the lanyards and pulling their identification out when they making sure people around them can see it.
There's a bit of an adolescent machismo, to put it in a dignified fashion.
Yes, Michael, that's exactly what it sounds.
See, I'm trying to be dignified. The older I get, I'm trying to speak like an American. I'm trying to modulate my. All right, I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'm glad I listened to in Delaware. I don't even know what Delaware is. I've never been there. Hey, I just got something. I have to share it with you on the air. Can I? There's a fellow who's a palmist, reads palms. I knew him from years ago when I was a local host, Vernon Mahabal. And he read my palm years ago. He just sent me my palm reading. I can't believe this. What the stars have in store for you over the next 12 to 14 months. What I see looks quite interesting, so I want to give you a heads up. The minute I see that, I figure it means I'm going to die. Whenever I hear someone tell me something interesting is coming, I figure death, heart attack, running over, falling. No, this looks good. You entered into a new planetary period in November of 2011, but you're now about to feel the full beneficial effects of this advantageous time. You know what, Vernon? I'll read more of it on the Savage Nation, but I know that the stars are lining up for me. I know all the evildoers who have lined up against to hurt me are going to pay in spades for what they've done to me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This song is dedicated to the Secret Service in Colombia. It is the official song of the Colombia delegation of the United States Secret Service.
Well, I saw a gal walking down the street. The kind of a gal I love to meet. She had blonde hair and eyes blue. Baby, I want to have a party with you.
Come, you see? Nothing new under the sun. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The Praetorian Guard now is in the public eye, another laughingstock of the Obama administration, who's not sure himself whether he should be angry or not. The whole world's laughing behind his back at the behavior of these clowns, and he said he's not sure if he should be angry, but he will get angry if he has to. Unbelievable to me. And you say there's nothing to do with him. I disagree with you. It's a reflection of the laxness of the administration. Water guns around a swimming pool while rockets are flying in North Korea. Jason in Waco, Texas. Your opinion counts. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to follow on your caller from Delaware about his experience with the off-duty Secret Service officers or agents. I'm in Waco, Texas, and Bush's ranch was just outside of town, and we used to see his Secret Service agents in town routinely, whether they were at the supermarket or restaurants mm-hmm. or drugstores or whatever. And his agents were consistently the most professional, mm-hmm. well-mannered, polite, mm-hmm. quiet, consummate professionals you've mm-hmm. ever been around in your life. They were exactly what you would think of when you think.
Of course. See, I don't think this happened under Bush. I don't think it would have happened under Nixon or Reagan. This is clearly a reflection of the Obama administration. Now, whether or not these guys worked prior to Obama, I don't know. And they just got lax, or he fired agents and hired new ones. I guess I don't know. We don't know, really know. Do you have any inside information? Are these new agents?
No, I don't. These were just more just kind of anecdotal stories of prior agents with prior administrations. I've met.
All right, fair enough. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny to make certain that we end the tyranny. That's all. New York, WOR. Bob, welcome to the program on a different topic. What's on your mind?
I have two comments to make, actually two points. I'm 28 years old, 29 actually, never smoked marijuana in my life. But, having said that, there are no official linked deaths to smoking marijuana. And secondly, there's no reason to believe that making marijuana legal would make people smoke marijuana more. Take Holland, for example, where marijuana is de facto legal, and there are no more people smoking marijuana in Holland.
Well, let me ask, what has Holland produced for the world in the last 50 years that you know of?
That's irrelevant, because they don't have...
Well, what do you mean it's irrelevant? It weakens a nation to have them drugged in plain English. What is Holland known for? Holland has not produced very much since tulips.
That's
number one. Number two, it's not an ethical or moral issue to me, marijuana. It's a medical issue. Everyone with a modicum of an intelligence in them understands that marijuana smoke is more toxic than cigarette smoke. So you're not arguing that toxicants are good for your lungs, are you?
Absolutely not, but isn't it...
All right, so you don't want more ammonia in your lungs than you would get from a Chesterfield. You don't want nitrous oxide, sulfur dioxide, cyanide in your lungs, do you? So why would you propose then that smoking marijuana is good for people?
I didn't say it's good for people. I'm just saying that there are 400,000 people dying from smoking cigarettes every year, yet there are no linked deaths to smoking marijuana.
You're 100% wrong. You see, you don't have any science background. You have no medical background. You refuse to even listen to the facts. I just stated to you, sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, ammonia levels are higher than they are in marijuana smoke than they are in tobacco smoke. So how can you then say that there are no negative effects of marijuana smoke?
I didn't say it doesn't have negative effects, but how can you explain there are no deaths linked to smoking marijuana?
Because there are no studies. There are no studies being funded linking marijuana to any lung cancer or deaths. You had a whole industry of shyster lawyers working with the government to prove that big tobacco was killing people so they could sue tobacco companies. Who are you going to sue? The cartels? So the lawyers stay away from it. I mean, you don't have to be a genius or a PhD to understand that, do you? You're not even getting a free book. You're just a pain in the neck. Another pothead. Yeah, no, not even a free book for him. What does he know? Go smoke a, you know what? Go smoke a two lids. Do me a favor. Hasten your demise. See if I care. What do I care what you do with yourself? It's your lungs. Go live in Amsterdam. See if I care. Go live in Amsterdam. Go to Holland. What have they produced since the tulip? Tulipomania. Now it's marijuana-omania. And prostitutes. That's all that Holland has. What does Holland have? What they produce? They didn't even produce the beautiful city that they have. They produced nothing. Yeah, sure. Come in here. I do you. Yeah, sure. $20. 20 kronen. Come in. Yeah, sure. Come here. Come in the room. Yeah, sure. That's your idea of a nation? A group of hookers and potheads that ride around on bicycles? They can't get out of their own way. What a country. It's holding up as an example.
Savage.
We are listening to the official song of Holland, the land of the marijuana, the land of marijuana in Amsterdam. Everybody sing. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So we're talking about the big story today. You know, when I first started in radio and people paid attention to what talk radio hosts had to say, today they make believe we don't exist. Even though we are a fairly important, let us say, conduit of the popular voice, vox populi, you know, the opinions of people. You hear more of it on talk radio than anywhere else in any other medium. So they would ask us, what are people talking about on talk radio? Today, the number one topic is Obama's Secret Service agents and the hookers in Colombia. Now, I add Obama's because let's not disconnect them from him. You can't disconnect what they did in Colombia with Obama. It's a reflection of him, whether you want to accept it or not. You understand how this works? It's not just Secret Service agents. They were there on his behest. They behaved on his behalf. They're a reflection of him. That's how it works. Okay, that's how it works. That's how the world works. I know that most of you liberals have no self-respect and no concept of behavior having results, or that personal behavior has any results or any value whatsoever. But this reflects on Obama's laxness and his disrespect for authority in general, lest it's here's his authority coming down on you. At least that's how I see it. Let's go to some of the callers. Barbara in Santa Maria, what do you think? Is this as big a deal as I think? What do you think happened in Colombia with the Secret Service agents?
I think they were set up. Nobody is going to be so stupid as to refuse to pay a $46 bill. Some gal showed up at his door, demanded money, and he goes, like, what for? And they had paper.
Oh, my God. That's an interesting theory. He didn't even sleep with the hooker, this one, or he did or he didn't. So she comes to the door after the fact, says, you owe me the money. He says, what, are you crazy? I don't even know who you are. Then she calls the local police to turn it into an international incident.
Right.
That's so an interesting novelistic. No, as a novelist, I appreciate that thinking. You must be, do you read novels?
Yes, but this is just the Russians. It's got them all over it. They're trying to take down our guys that are good.
The Russians now.
And
whoa. Well, wait a minute. This is very interesting. So you mean anything to weaken our president is what's going? You're saying so someone did this to weaken Obama?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm listening. I want to see what a woman has to, because your analysis is sharper than that of the New York Times for sure. You're ahead of everybody in the media by what you just said.
Even if Obama wants to pat the Russians' knee and tell them how great they are, that doesn't mean anything to the Russians. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Wow. All right, you get a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Even though you may like Obama, you're a very intelligent analyst, I'll tell you that. Unbelievable. That is amazing. Yeah, that's interesting. You know. Oh, so let me finish reading this to you from Vernon Mahabal, Palmistry Institute. Palmistryinstitute at yahoo.com. Vernon, you're going to get free publicity. He read my palm years ago, so I don't talk to him. We don't know each other. I haven't heard from him for years. Look what he sends me out of the blue on the 16th of April today at 4:11 p.m. Pacific time. Hi, Michael Savage. Hope you're well. This is Vernon, your palm reader. I know that Christians don't like this, but it doesn't matter to me what you like. I'm a spiritual man. I know God exists. I read the Old Testament. But I don't dismiss all other avenues of thinking or an intuition. I'll tell you that right now. I spent too many years in very interesting situations where I saw elements occur that had to do with spiritualism and predictions of what would happen to people from fortune tellers in Fiji that came true, from palm readers, from card readers. I've had my palm read by American Indians, by gypsies, and they're not all wrong. Let me put it to you that way. So Vernon finishes. I wanted to give you a brief overview of what the stars have in store for you over the next 12 to 14 months. You entered into a new planetary period in November of 2011. Vernon, you have no idea how right you are. You haven't any idea how right you are. November of 2011 is one of the biggest changing points in my life. Then he goes on, but you are now about to feel the full beneficial effects of this advantageous time. I know that you are quite popular, but this time period will see you in a much larger spotlight. events will transpire that will put you very strongly in a larger public arena, and you'll find yourself enjoying and acquiring a broader acceptance across the board. You will even experience a few who, unfavorable in the past, will soften their mood towards you, some becoming even a bit helpful. Wow. My strong intuition here is that your inner desire to help, heal, and motivate will now come to be more openly perceived by a greater public. Be ready for this. Oh, my God. He finishes. The planet of Jupiter is now stationed directly over your midheaven, signifying increased interaction and entertainment in your personal life also. A more pleasurable, social, and enjoying phase. Michael, I've heard you state over the years that you're not so hyped up about traveling, but you may have to do some nonetheless over the next 1.5 to 2 years. On the negative side, with so many plans and social involvements, be aware that you could scatter your energies. Also, this time period may be easier for overindulgences, so you may want to be cautious here. But overall, a markedly impactful and influential time for you. Let me know if you have any questions. God bless, Vernon Mahabal. Wow. From his mind to God's ear to Michael Savage, I deserve it with what I've been through. I just got back a medical report. You shouldn't know from it. God, if it wasn't for apolipoprotein A, I don't know where I'd be today. It's the one lipid you cannot you can't correct apolipoprotein A. I got to tell you that. You know, many of us get blood tests. Older guys over 50, LPA. No, I'm saying you get LDL, HDL, VLDL, HLDL, right? And you get panicked and you take Lipitor. I can't take those drugs because they cripple me fundamentally. They affect your liver. They cripple you. They make you mentally fatigued. Don't worry about it. Terrible side effects. I know so many guys, they go out, oh, don't worry about it. I can eat what I want. I'm taking this. I know guys with diabetes that take pills for blood sugar and eat like fools. They don't adjust their diet. They listen to the quacks who tell them, take this and you'll be fine. So they take 6 different pills and eat like a pig, and they wonder why they drop dead. Unbelievable to me. So nevertheless, I can't take any drugs. So I'm saturated with vitamin C, saturated with vitamin E, saturated with B vitamins, saturated with certain herbs. But there's a fraction, a lipid fraction, that if I didn't have this fraction, apolipoprotein A, I would have been dead 30 years ago. I mean, I could die tomorrow. Who knows? God forbid. My father died young. God rest his soul. Grandfather died. I mean, I used to live when I was young. Oh, father died young. He would panic me. So I'd ask, well, grandpa died at 47. So I would like latch on to any hope. Well, but in Europe, he lived long, right? The great grandfather. Oh, yeah, lived to 37. So that was like a death sentence. The paternal inheritance is like a death sentence. Horrible. So all my life I've been running with like, what the? So I went into nutrition. I've searched the world for answers. Nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathy, epidemiology, you name it. And you come back to living your life and doing the best you can, because at a certain point, the stress of worrying about it and modifying your lifestyle can kill you faster than anything else. So I do the best I can, but I can't take drugs for any of it, right? But the lipids are so upside down that by definition of what we believe today, I should be dead. If you looked at my LDL and my HDL, you'd probably panic. You'd run into a cardiac ward. But as I say, my apolipoprotein A, which you cannot modify, I don't care what drug you take or what vitamins you take, you can't change it. It's a genetic factor. Mine is very low. It's why I must have inherited my mother's. I must have inherited my mother's blood chemistry. I don't know. Who looks? Who knows? They didn't know blood chemistry in those days. My mother ate what she wanted. Lived to 88. Okay, she died pretty bad in the end, but that's another story. Horrible, the other one. But you don't get out of this world alive. You're going to get something, right? One thing or the other. The worst thing you can get is Alzheimer's disease. I was in that field for 5 years. Terrible. You know, heart attacks, people already know how to live with it. Cancer, they can live with it, God forbid. But you can't live with Alzheimer's disease, like losing your soul. I've been thinking a lot about that lately because I was in that field of research for years. And there was, you know, in fact, I wrote a book in 1982 called Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, laughed at by the medical establishment. Everything I wrote in that book is now the current thinking in Alzheimer's prevention. Everything I wrote, I'm always 20 years ahead of my time in everything. That's why my prognostications with regard to what liberalism has wrought, you know already I'm right. You know already what it's done. Why, something good has come of it? Something good has come of it. Yeah, really, terrific. So anyway, what do you want to talk about? Most of you don't even check for it. You don't check for LPA. when you get a blood test. No one. Oh, my PSA is low. Prostate, that's good. 1.8. That's a good one. Can you? I'm going to tell you a funny story about PSA. Every guy over 50 has that test, right? They're afraid of prostate cancer. Terrifying thing. So you watch out if your PSA goes up above 4. So thank God mine is low, and I have very high stress. But I went about 20 years ago, I had a, you know, down in that department, some pains. I went to some quack in New York, some guy who investigates that area of the body. I remember, never forget, I came back. Because he says to me, either you're getting too much sex or not enough. I said, boy, you're really very, very skilled diagnostician. Thank you for that one. You know what I'm saying? That was an interesting analysis. You got either you're having too much sex or not enough. I said, well, that's a wide range there. Right there, that's very good. You want to hear something funny about prostate? At that time, 1982, that's a long time ago. I was young, a younger guy. I had like pains then. Blah, blah, blah. I went to a herbalist in San Francisco. To this day, I can remember going there, Chinese herbalist. I even know where it is. I'm not going to tell you where it is because you'll rush there and buy the pills. So I explained to the Chinese guy, pains in this area, blah, blah, blah. So he sells me little black pills, which I took. One course of these little black pills, I never had another pain for the rest of my life. So I went and bought dozens of these bottles. I gave one to an African guy I knew in New York. He was a doorman. Big, strong guy. We talked. He said he had prostate problems. I gave him these pills. 3 months later, went back to that same hotel. He said they were gone, you know, the pain, and other people. So I looked into what was in the pills, what was the announced, you know, components of the pills. And there's one interesting part of it all. I'm not going to read you all of the herbs. The Chinese theory of prostatitis, not prostate cancer, but of an inflamed prostate, the Chinese theory is much different than the Western view. Their theory is that all prostate problems are the result of a bacterial infection that was never cured properly, whether it was a urinary tract infection or a gonorrheal type infection that you had when you were young that was not properly treated, or, you know, you took antibiotics and it never cured it. That's their theory. So they use herbs that, amongst other things, have antibacterial properties, probably as powerful, if not more powerful, than some of our antibacterials in these pills. And when I was in the nutritional medical practice, I helped an awful lot of people. I know you're going to all ask, where can I get it? I'm not going to tell you because it's not what I'm doing now. I may do it one day just to help people, but there's only so many hours of the day, and I'm wasting a lot of time right now with a lot of negativity. But soon this negativity will be gone, and when it's gone, I'll go into helping humanity again. I may even do nutritional consulting, personal, Beowulf, what do we call that on the show? Life coach. They call up, I got a problem, what should I do? I go to the in-laws, she's wearing a hat that I don't like, and I go there, I feel sick. Do I tell my wife to tell her mother to take the hat off? You know, that kind of personal stuff. I don't know. You can't believe what people will ask you. They don't know what to do. There's no leadership. There's no one around to tell these older and young people. But I don't claim to know the answer, but I have some answers. Well, that was a long run from the palmist to the crazy in-laws with a crazy hat. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I want to thank my listeners for making Trickle Down Tyranny by Michael Savage number 3 and number 2 on the nonfiction hardcover bestseller lists across the land. It's a miracle, actually, when you think about the limited nature of exposure of my book. It's only talked about really on my website and my show, a couple other shows, but I'm banned on Fox News. And my listeners are extremely loyal, and they understand the danger we are in. And the fact is that we are living through a tyranny that will only grow worse if he's reelected. And there's no better example of it than what happened today in Congress. When Jeffrey Neely, organizer of the General Service Administration's lavish Las Vegas conference with taxpayer money, repeatedly pled the Fifth Amendment in the hearing. You got to hear some of this. We'll play it for the listeners. They're not going to believe that this is a government under Obama rather than a mafia under the Valachi paper type. Listen.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely. Did you attend the 2010 Western Regional Conference in Las Vegas?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Wow.
Mr. Neely, did you approve the funding for the 2010 Western Regional Conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Just a few more. Mr. Neely, what was the original budget for that conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Can you believe that this is a government official not even admitting he was at the conference? Can you believe this is going on under the Obama administration? It's never happened before. I've never heard it under Bush. Never would you have heard a man of this level taking the fifth. Now, I want to play something for you in a limited time we have left on the Savage Nation from the Valachi papers. Remember that, Beowulf? Do we still have it, or is it we have the Godfather hearing? Remember that one we have in the archives? Okay, that. No, the hearing today, but okay, I have a good mood, so here we go. Let's take the call. Is Jack in Albany, New York? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I think I'm asking a big question here that I haven't heard. I may have gone out of earshot for a moment, and I apologize if I haven't, but where is Mitt Romney?
On the Secret Service scandal under Obama? Right. He's the opposition candidate.
Everything.
Why is Romney not saying anything about the Secret Service scandal in Colombia?
What's his catchphrase? There's a big void in this election year. We all know it's Obama versus Romney. I'd like to give a shout out to Mitt Romney and say, hey, Mitt, what's the deal? What do you stand for?
You're saying is, why hasn't he said anything about this scandal in Colombia and the GSA scandal? Is that what you're saying?
Basically that, and he's just...
Yeah, all right. Well, I agree with you. I don't know why Romney is never talking about what's on people's minds. I don't quite get it. New York, Joan, the big scandal is the Secret Service. Is it big to you? Welcome from WOR. In New York City, Joan, tell me, is this as big a deal as I think it is?
It is a big scandal, and thank you for all your good work for people who are homebound like I am. I'm glad you brought it to mind. It is a serious scandal, and the woman...
Why is it so serious that Obama's Secret Service agents were caught with their pants down in a house of ill repute in Cartagena, Colombia? Why is that such a big deal?
Well, because of the secrecy, as you said, you know, they could get information, and the woman who called before and said she thought it was a setup... Isn't that what Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky? Why was she in and out of the White House and no one did anything about it?
It's always under Democrats, right? And where's the word secret part of the Secret Service?
Yeah,
how secret are they?
And,
how secret are they that we all know who they are? Right. And what about the hookers? Maybe they got their wallets, their ID. Maybe they got the serial numbers off their guns. I mean, this is a big deal. Something's wrong here. Very, very big deal.
For years now, a growing number of my constituents have been of Italian descent.
No, that's not, forget it, that's not the good one. We need something else. I like the Valachi papers where he takes the Fifth Amendment. Don't you understand? Talks about the button men and the Fifth and all of that. When have you heard an administration repeatedly taking the Fifth of Scotch and the Fifth Amendment? It's unheard of. See, it's when you have a criminal mentality. They argue that they don't have to answer even a congressional hearing. They'll take the fifth. Don't you understand what this reflects? Again, Obama. It's a criminal mentality. The head of Solandra takes the fifth. The head of the GSA caught up in the scandal takes the fifth. Don't you understand this is indicative of a criminal mindset? No. Okay, forget it.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. Here's some of the audio, and you have to hear this. This is the incompetent Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, saying that Obama's policies have been extremely effective. All right.
If you're not going to ask the most fortunate Americans to pay a slightly a modest share of their income, additional share in taxes, who are you going to ask to bear that burden for deficit reduction? Are you going to ask other Americans to pay higher taxes? Or are you going to cut their benefits of Medicare? Are you going to cut deeply into things making sure? That's the trade-offs we face. It is not responsible to sit here today and offer the American people the prospect of some path to greater economic strength by extending tax cuts for the rich we can't afford. The president's policies were remarkably effective. If you look at this recovery and this the effectiveness of our crisis response relative to any in recent memory, very successful, very tough politically for us to do in that context. He did the necessary, deeply damaging, deeply politically hard things to get growth started again, and then he's done everything he could to convince a reluctant opposition to join him in doing things to make the economy stronger.
But you call it a success story.
Oh, absolutely. This president's policies were remarkably successful.
Now, here's former Vice President Dick Cheney calling Obama an unmitigated disaster. Right on, Dick. You're 100% right.
I can't think of a time when I felt it was more important for us to defeat an incumbent president than today with respect to Barack Obama. I think he has been an unmitigated disaster for the country. I think to be in a position where he gets four more years in the White House to continue the policies he has, both with respect to the economy and tax policy and defense and so many other areas, would be a huge disappointment.
Finally, you need to hear actor Bill Cosby talking about the Trayvon Martin case and President Obama exploiting it. It's very important.
It's about the gun. It's about this gun. Guns in our country. And I know that when you have a gun, you may not realize it, but you put it on your person and you mean to pull this and kill somebody. That's what you mean to do. I see Obama as Sisyphus in the first 4 years. And nobody would speak about the size of the rock or the elevation of the hill. All you hear people talk about is what he didn't do.
Well, here's what's on michaelsavage.com, all the news and all the rest of it, all the news, views, and reviews. michaelsavage.com, your one-stop shop for all of the breaking news and all the information you ever want to know about Michael Savage from now and forever. Inside the Secret Service's hooker hotspot. Yeah, there's a certain club you can go to in Cartagena where it's legal to do what the Secret Service did. But whatever. We have a picture of Hillary swilling a beer out of a bottle at Columbia with a few lady friends. Oh, yeah. Hillary, a dance floor sensation at Columbia Club. You've seen the dancing, but you haven't seen the swilling and the smiling friends. Where's Bill? Obama says, I'll be angry if Secret Service allegations are true. Let out. Israeli TV report shows Air Force gearing up for Iran attack. Yeah, here we go again. Corzine steals billions without any charges while an errant whale watcher faces prison, says Real Clear Markets. Firefighter probe for Trayvon Facebook rant. He dared say that he blasted urban youth and ignorant, pathetic parents, and for that he's being punished. I guess the First Amendment doesn't apply. Illegal immigrant seeks admission to Florida bar. Which bar? Liquor bar or liquor barn? Obama tells Colombians he's scouting out future vacation. Wow. All a taxpayer expense.
I want to thank President Santos and the people of Colombia for the extraordinary hospitality in the beautiful city of Cartagena. We're having a wonderful time, and usually when I take these summit trips, part of my job is to scout out where I may want to bring Michelle back later for vacation. So we'll make sure to come back sometime in the near future.
Israel boots out fly-in activists. Hundreds of police threw out the bums, the leftist bums that were away from America trying to embarrass Israel. Axelrod says, no, Obama won't contribute his own money, even though he paid 20.4%. He was asked if Obama would pay more to meet the buffet rule.
The president introduced his or released his tax returns this week. It turns out that he paid a tax rate of 20.5%, which is a lot less than the 30% he talks about. And yes, it is lower than what his secretary pays. And the question if I may, David, the question I have for you is, if the president feels so strongly about tax fairness, is he going to contribute money to the Treasury, and they have a special department just for this, to help with the deficit?
Listen, Chris, first of all, the reason that his tax rate was so low was in part because 22% of his income was donated to charity, mostly to these Fisher houses around veterans hospitals. So
Mitt Romney contributes a lot to charity as well. That's not the issue.
That's fine. Not quite, yes, but there's no proportionality there. But here's the larger issue. The president's proposal would have him pay a higher rate of taxes in the future. Governor Romney's proposal would have him pay a lower tax rate in the future.
Orrin Hatch, the Rhino Republican, says this about the Tea Party: I despise these people. You wonder why they're offended by him. Has Obama forgotten? America was founded on a tax revolt, Washington Times. Biden says paying higher taxes is patriotic. Founding father said something else. TSA luggage inspector charged with stealing iPads. Do-gooder lives for men violence in mental hospitals. If you have to read this article, it's a lengthy article on michaelsavage.com. Have you read Trickle-Down Tyranny? Well, they're calling it a sobering wake-up call. It's a book you must have. Savage says it's do or die for America. Trickle-Down Tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. On the bottom of the page, michaelsavage.com, enjoy a picture of Chaz Bono enjoying a Grand Marshal duties at Gay Pride Parade. Looking good. Looking good, kid. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. Everyone loves that because she's pretty. I hope her boyfriend doesn't get mad at me. What else is in the news? Well, I don't know if there's much else in the news than what I've told you. Tight race, says Gallup. Romney to Obama, start packing. Secret Service revokes security clearances of 11 accused of misconduct. Embattled GSA official. I'm mixing up TSA and GSA. Enjoys wine and a hot tub soak during pre-conference meeting, pleads the Fifth Amendment.
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely, did you attend the 2010 Western Regional Conference in Las Vegas?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely, did you approve the funding for the 2010 Western Regional Conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Just a few more. Mr. Neely, what was the original budget for that conference?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
DNC chief called on to release her tax returns. Oh, really? Pope turns 85. Hillary Clinton swills beer and dances the night away in Colombia. It's good being king. It's good being queen. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
People in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
Stop the music. You know, every once in a while, things occur in the United States of America that leave you with your mouth hanging over. You just heard the inner Obama. You just heard the words that are no doubt spoken in the White House when no one is listening. You just heard the modus operandi of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, is my estimation. Whose words were those? Those were the words spoken in the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia, by Obama's pastor, Reverend Wright, who said that white supremacy drives world policy. A man who attacked some of the greatest minds in history, Thomas Jefferson and Voltaire and Theodore Roosevelt, as a politician, are beyond reproach in terms of intelligence, and yet this lowlife, nobody, hateful, black supremacist, is attacking them as ignorant and arrogant. Now, if it was just a crazy, ranting preacher in a church, we wouldn't even pay attention to it. However, you have to understand that Michelle and Barack Obama sat in this guy's church for 20 straight years, had their brains filled with this hatred and these lies, and are now presiding over the destruction of the United States of America. Their minds were warped and brainwashed by this psychotic. If, again, he was not president and he sat in that church, it would be one thing. But here's a man who was president who sat in that church. When I say to you that this is the most divisive, demonic situation this country has ever been in, I am not doing this for effect. When I say to you that the Obama administration admits that tax cuts work in China, listen to this story. While speaking recently about the communist government in China, Undersecretary of State Robert Hormats, an Obama appointee, actually praised China's decision to spur economic growth by lowering taxes. Did you hear? But Obama gave an argument in Vermont on Friday saying the opposite. He says it was basic math that taxes needed to be increased on wealthy Americans so the government could do more for the poor. And then he said, this is not class envy. This is not class warfare. This is basic math. He said, look, if somebody like me gets a tax break that they don't need, let's pause right there. Of course he doesn't need a tax break. He has Air Force 1, 2, 3, U.S. military. He has every expense paid for and then some. What does he need a tax break for? But yet he attacks the very people who support him. And he's actually arguing, this is about the most distasteful thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth, he's actually arguing that's not class warfare, but that's exactly what Obama is engaging in. He's saying if you make above a certain amount, you're actually stealing money from somebody else in the United States of America. Now, why does Obama want to discourage people from being rich? Why does he attack those who work hard and are productive? Why does he support poverty? Why does he attack success? Why does he praise our worst enemies like the Muslim Brotherhood, who has just given $1.5 billion to, or is it $1.2 billion, while trying to put Israel into a box? Why does he cut the funds in the military, resulting in plane crashes such as we saw last weekend? Why does he permit our border to descend into chaos while his Fast and Furious program weaponizes the border? Why does he, as the economy falters, reward his friends in corporations? Why does he reward his cronies who are making off with all the wealth? I've asked these questions on this show. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny, which, by the way, is now a raging bestseller. I don't know where it's going to be on the list, but thank you for recognizing what's at stake here. Many of you flooded the bookstores last week. And, of course, you know what's going to happen when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to work, when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to church, when you bring Trickle Down Tyranny to the polling place. When you bring trickle-down tyranny, you're going to see how tolerant the Obama socialists really are. You're going to see the country you really live in. But let us go back to Reverend Wright, who says that white supremacy drives world policy. On the face of it, it's stunning that he would get away with such racism. But when you actually analyze it, it's a lie on top of it all. Because I will remind you, and maybe this will make you uncomfortable, although he says that whites are ignorant and arrogant, 90% of all of you with that, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. I'm willing to listen to you. The cars you drive, the lights you turn on, the medicines you use, virtually everything you do, including flushing your toilet, was a direct result of the ignorance. If you would let this psychotic get any more traction in this country, we are going to wind up in a state less than the third world. And yet your children have been subjected to this kind of vile hatred in their colleges for well over 15 years now. The so-called deconstructionists, the people who have argued that people of white skin color are actually inferior, who have argued that every white person is a racist and every black person is a victim. They are trying to trigger a race war. I have never seen anything like this, especially in an election year. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Reverend Wright saying that white supremacy drives world policy in the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Charleston by accident? Do you believe Obama told Reverend Wright to open up again? Do you believe that that Obama wants this hatred out there once again? And ask yourself why Romney says nothing about it. Romney, who could care less, in my opinion, about what we the little people are doing, is out surfboarding somewhere. And here we have the president of the United States engaging in class warfare, triggering hatred like we've never seen since the 60s in this country. Now, it goes back to what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. Many of us fear this man. We watch his face. We see utter disdain, arrogance, unlike any ever seen in a democracy before.
Savage.
Look, as I point out in Trickle Down Tyranny, the Obama administration is the most radical progressive administration in American history. And they have the most, what you call a progressive tax code. What does a progressive tax code mean? Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to discuss his latest articles entitled Income Tax Tyranny, I guess he got the title from Trickle Down Tyranny, is Cato Senior Fellow Richard Rahnt. Richard, so what do you mean by income tax tyranny?
Well, the U.S. tax system has a number of aspects that really are characteristic of tyrannical regimes rather than a true free market economy. For instance, we have a highly progressive tax system. In fact, the U.S. has about the most progressive tax system of any major country in the world. And what we're doing here is artificially dividing taxpayers into various groups, which would be impermissible if we were dividing them in groups according to race or religion or whatever, and treating them differently. The whole notion of taxation given back at our founding was to only be taxed with the consent of the governed. And we had the American Revolution was in large part fought over taxation. It was the whole cry, no taxation without representation. But when you divide Americans into groups, and some of the groups are very small and then much heavily, more heavily taxed than other groups, they are not really represented. For instance, to understand what I'm speaking of, back before the Civil Rights Movement, many black Americans in the South were forced to ride in the back of the bus. Now, people said, well, we have a democracy, and the will of the people, the majority, was that they be so treated. But by segregating one group of people, in this case black Americans, and treating them differently, they didn't really have representation. In the same way today, upper income groups who have maybe are small in numbers are treated adversely compared to the rest of the population. And what you have is a majoritarian tyranny over a smaller minority. We also have laws that are so complex that no one can really understand them. The tax code is something like 77,000 pages. Now, no one understands this. So what happens is you have selective prosecution, which again is a characteristic of tyrannical governments. For instance, Secretary of the Treasury Geithner and former Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charlie Rangel both got away with tax offenses that other people have gone to jail for, or at least major fines. And so you have this kind of selective prosecution. We see it all the time due to just the complexity of the tax laws and the arbitrariness of them.
Give my audience, the Savage Nation, a few examples of income tax tyranny.
We also have tax tyrannies, rates that are above the revenue maximizing rate. For instance, the capital gains tax. Now, there's been many economic studies that show that the rate for the capital gains tax, given it is largely discretionary tax, is less than 15%. Yet President Obama suddenly wants to increase to 30%, and even he and his people in his own administration acknowledge that that 30% rate will not bring in additional revenue. It is just designed to punish some group of Americans. And when a tax code is used to punish people rather than to raise the maximum amount of money with the least cost, you again have a form of tyranny. Another example would be with the former Soviet Union and Nazi Germany, both imposed exit taxes on citizens who tried to leave their countries. The world community reacted adversely to this and said this violated people's basic human right to leave a country if it did not so suit them. Well, what we have in the United States is a tax on Americans who decide to leave for tax reasons and go to a lower tax country. It's the same form of tyranny, and we seem to think it's fine here, but we were aghast when the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany practiced such practices. And finally, we've got this new proposal from the IRS, which says that only they can determine who can file or who can help you with your tax return. And if you have to have the tax preparers certified by the IRS, they suddenly lose their independence and are no longer representing their client. They're really beholden to the IRS. And the IRS claims they need to have only qualified people prepare the return. But again, there's no one at the IRS who fully understands the tax code. And, of course, no one else does. So who are they to say some people are more qualified than others? It's dubious, and it's an example of tax tyranny.
Well, how does the tyranny that the Founding Fathers dealt with compared to the tyranny that we're dealing with today under Obama? I have a whole chapter on this.
Well, I think what the Founding Fathers found objectionable was quite minor compared to what we put up with today. The initial cause of the revolution, there was a number of taxes, but was the tea tax. And where the English crown, actually the Parliament in London and the English king, were imposing basically excise taxes, import duties, on Americans without their consent. These were fairly low rate, and they were quite small in relationship to the total tax take the government now takes from us, and were far less oppressive.
Where else in history have we seen such tax tyranny?
Well, we see it often both in totalitarian states, but also in democratic states over time. There's a natural tendency, as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and others pointed out, for government to grow at the expense of the liberties of the people. And we see that we have, there's always a concentration of benefits of government expenditures and the dispersion of cost among many different people. And so lobbies in Washington are always pushing for more expenditure for their particular cause. So you end up with much higher levels of taxing and spending than the people in the aggregate want or is economically good in terms of maximizing economic growth and opportunity. And democracies over time have gotten saddled with more and more spending. Typically, they try to, and more debt as a result. And typically, they try to get out of this by inflating the currency. And that usually brings an end to the democracy. We've seen this happen countless times in history, and it's quite amazing that the U.S. has gone over 220 years without actually sinking the ship. But I'm afraid we're getting very close to that point now with a huge growth in debt.
As you write about in your article, the president wants to raise the capital gains tax to 30%. Well, what would a capital gains tax of 30% do to our economy?
Well, what it would do is greatly discourage entrepreneurship, particularly since capital losses are not fully deductible. You're limited to $3,000 a year, but you're fully taxed on the gain, and they're also not adjusted for inflation. So the effective tax rate is really much higher. And here you've got a case of where people take risks to invest in new business. They're hoping it'll be the new Apple or whatever. Most new businesses fail. But if they fail, the government limits your loss. If they happen to succeed, the government takes a huge percentage of your gain, which means fewer and fewer people are willing to invest in high-risk ventures. And it is these high-risk ventures which often lead to the phenomenal increases in productivity. I use the, again, Apple as an example, and the Apple iPad and the iPhone. These are great advances, helped most everybody. I think there's hundreds of millions of these products out there, greatly beneficial, of course, benefited Apple. But if you have high capital gains tax rates, you just get less innovation, less new products, and more unemployment, and more poverty, and less growth and opportunity.
Okay, so in your opinion, what tax code would help turn around the struggling economy?
What we need to do is reduce the high marginal tax rates on individuals. And we, over time, should move more to a consumption-based tax system, taxing what people take out of the economy rather than what they put into it. Now we heavily tax labor and capital, and particularly the most productive labor and the most productive capital. It's interesting to note that if you invest in state and local government bonds, those are normally tax-free, and that tends to be a low productive use of that capital. On the other hand, if you invest in new ventures like the Apples and Googles and all the others and new medical devices, you tend to get very heavily taxed on that. So we have it all backwards.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Number one, I'm not divisive. The media is divisive. Number two, CBS, ABC, SNBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. Then they took an 8-year-old sermon and a 5-year-old sermon and took two clauses out of context to try to scare white voters away from Barack Obama.
Okay, so that's Reverend Wright saying that he's not divisive and that these news media outlets took him out of context. All right, let's take it on the face that he's not lying. And yet in the same sermon, what I'm about to play for you is not taken out of context, or is it? Listen to clip two.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
That's Obama's inner man. That is Reverend Wright. He's at it again, saying that a genius like Voltaire, a genius such as Jefferson, these geniuses are nothing compared to Reverend Wright. He's trying to turn the world upside down. I didn't take it out of context. It's him speaking this weekend. Let me ask you something. Should I not play any of this? Because I seem to be the only show in the country who is playing Reverend Wright's white supremacy speeches. Am I wrong to play it? Am I causing more harm than good by playing Reverend Wright at this time? Should I be like the Republicans and not play it? Should I turn the other cheek? Should I make believe Reverend Wright is not doing this? Should I ignore the fact that Obama actually must think the same way since he sat in the same church for 20 years? Should I play this tape or not? Because if you say don't play it, I won't play it. Because I don't really want to upset Reverend Wright or any of his followers. I'd like them to live in their own world of ignorance and false arrogance as they attack people of another race while saying they're not racist themselves. It's sickening that I didn't think I'd live in an America like this. Let's take the callers and see what you have to say on the Savage Nation. Eric in New York on WOR. What do you make of Reverend Wright doing this?
Play it. Play it. Please play it, because you're the only one who's playing it. I'm just so frustrated. Nobody. You're the only one who's coming out and talking about this man and telling exactly what the truth is. And I salute you for it, Dr. Savage.
Eric, why is Wright doing this now? He was told to shut up by Obama right after the election. He disappeared. Now he's popping up again and expressing hatred towards white people in the most vile, despicable manner. Why is he doing this?
Dr. Savage, you've said it all along. It's a conspiracy. It's media. It's the complex. It's all those people who want to keep whatever they got going. It is not an accident. It's all contrived. And I'm just praying that that more people will hear your voice and will act, especially black Americans. It's like we're zombies.
Well, I don't know. I don't live in a bell jar. I live in the real world. I run into people of different races and nationalities. I basically am a loner. But when I run into black people in restaurants or bars, they're usually middle class black people. They seem to agree with me. Who in the world is Obama and Wright addressing? Who are they addressing?
I think they're addressing white people and blacks who just are mesmerized by the fact that there's a black man in the White House, which I might add, the media prepared us for 2 years prior to his election by having a black guy in the White House on television program. It was all contrived. It's all contrived. And you're the only...
Well, I don't care if there's a black man in the White House, but this is not just a black man in the White House. This is a naked Marxist tyrant in the White House. And he's...
Exactly. And
where is the freedom? Where is one statement about freedom and liberty and individual rights and anything coming out of Reverend Wright's mouth or Obama's mouth? When have you last heard Obama express the tenets of our Constitution? I have never heard it from him. Never.
I haven't either. And it's almost as if people are not listening. The man says what he's doing.
Exactly. That's what I've been alleging for years now. He's not hiding it. In trickle-down tyranny, I prove beyond a reasonable doubt he's not hiding it. He's showing it. He says I'm a communist. He says I'm a Marxist. He doesn't use those words, but he says it in all of his policies and actions.
And that's why I don't understand. How is it that people could be so blind? It's like he's there. It's like the Pied Piper. You know, he's leading all the kids to the water.
Eric, if I send you trickle-down tyranny, would you hide it or would you show it?
I will show it.
You got it.
It's on the way.
You got it. It's on the way. Yeah, you got it. My heart's actually pounding. I don't know how much more of this I can possibly take. I really don't know how much I can take. Listening to the hatred coming out of this White House, the hatred coming out of Reverend Wright. You say, well, come on now, you're merging the two. They're not one and the same. All right, you can have your opinion. I have mine. Something's wrong with this picture. For Reverend Wright, who has been told to dummy up for 2 years now, to suddenly come out with this anti-white tirade in church. Okay, listen to clip three. Listen to three.
The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
Now, are we listening to Louis Farrakhan or Obama's Reverend Wright? You're not listening to Louis Farrakhan. It's the very same tone, the very same speech. And your president sat in a church for 20 years listening to this. You say, well, he disavowed him. Well, he better disavow him now. You think Obama should disavow Reverend Wright for this speech today? Well, he won't. Why won't he? Because you're not hearing it anywhere but on this little old show. Little radio show. No one listens to it. I don't exist. As in the ex-Soviet Union, I'm banned on Fox News. I'm banned in the United Kingdom. I'm banned because I dare say what needs to be said. I dare speak truth to power, one man's opinion, if you want to put it to you that way. So therefore, Fox will have nothing to do with me, to their detriment. So if I'm non-existent, if I don't exist because O'Reilly has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up, he has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up who competes with him, and they're so fair and balanced that he'd rather have a prostitute or a drug dealer on the show than Michael Savage, shows you how fair and balanced Fox News is under this regime.